Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the First World Manila Podcast. For those of you just joining in, First World Manila Podcast, or actually the First World Manila brand, is an aspirational brand that makes learning about Manila and the Philippines, urban and economic development, and cultural revitalization interesting via things like this podcast, for example. There's a YouTube vlog. There's also fine art exhibits. And it's run by me, Ramon Rodrigo Calo Cuenca, CFA. Okay, so there's that intro. For those of you who have watched previous episodes of this podcast, the focus has always been more on the urban and economic development side. But the more I've worked on this podcast and produced videos for First World Manila, the more I realize that cultural issues and cultural revitalization is also important as well. And I've obviously hinted at this or sort of slipped this in previous episodes, but and also on my vlog as well. But we culture does matter, and I take the view that there was. Maybe like a year after the EDSA revolution in 86, so in 87, The Atlantic actually published an article about the Philippines. It's called A Damaged Culture. So you can actually look for it in The Atlantic. Search for A Damaged Culture Philippines on the internet, on Google, and you'll find it. And this is a very famous article about the Philippines, and it's something that I think is fairly accurate, and it's sort of a starting point for why I started First World Manila. So if you've watched some of my videos and podcasts again, I've hinted that culture is important, and we have to have a strong sense of who we really are, you know. And it's important to have that aspect, not just pure economic development and urban development, because I mean those are important, but also emphasizing culture as well. A sense of a national identity is very important for us, because otherwise, we have a situation like what we have now, where just a lot of people just want to leave the country and find better lives, rather than just staying here and trying to make things better. After all, if there's no emotional appeal to you and your identity, then what's the point of staying in the Philippines and doing the hard things to get things done here and fixed, rather than just go abroad and find a job and just send money back, which is obviously the case for a lot of people right now. So cultural revitalization is just as important for this podcast as learning about economic and urban development in Manila and the Philippines. So that's something, culture is something I want to address in several podcasts, including this particular episode. So you'll see it kind of mixed in with all the other episodes about, you know, the latest news on our economy or infrastructure. And I say revitalization because, in my view, if you've seen my artwork and some of my other videos, or listened to earlier podcasts, you'll know that I do have a very specific vision, you know, of where Manila and the Philippines could be. And it's been quite successful so far. I've had a successful art exhibit with that theme of First World Manila, so it's something I want to continue. And obviously, I'm not the authority on who our identity is, but I think we can agree on a few key things of who we are. The fact that our history is so unique in the region and even the world, and you know, and it's so unique that it's hard for us to really compare ourselves to other people. I think we all know that. We're obviously a former Spanish colony situated in Asia, where most people did not learn Spanish and instead learned English. And our national language also, besides English, is also Tagalog, which is really only comes from one part of the country. So it's hard to articulate. I mean, I think it's there. Our culture is there, but part of my job, aside from going over the nitty-gritty about, you know, policy, is also to it's a show and present and market our culture, make it marketable and understandable, not just to non-Filipinos, but to ourselves as well. So we need that. So that's what one of the, that's what an episode like this is about. And so this is a culture-based episode. And okay, now that I've ranted for a few minutes, let's get into the actual subject of this episode. So this is about what language should Filipinos speak, and also about the recent internet meme that's been traveling around the internet, Your Road. So I want to talk about that. So for those who don't know what Your Road is all about, I'll just actually show you. There's a good article on Interacción about it, and I'll paste the link in the description for everyone to see. But basically, there was what happened was, maybe a few weeks ago, a friend of mine who I work with at a co-working space, at my co-working space, Randall, he actually showed me this meme that's been going around called Your Road. And basically, there's a US American TV show, what's it? There's an American TV channel called TLC. I think that's the Learning Channel. I think it's what it stands for. They had a reality show called 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. And one episode, one segment of one episode featured an American who basically goes to the Philippines to marry a Filipino, and they met online. And if you can see, neither the American or and this Filipino in question are, if you watch the actual footage, they're probably from more humble backgrounds. And obviously, it's a reality show, so you can't have a. And they're there. He's visiting her and her family, and then they're, in very modest, so to speak, environment. And they're having lechon, and he, I think the American, his name is Larry, couldn't. He was not used to eating a live pig, so it's something that he could not do. And his fiancée, the Filipina Jenny, is her name, basically pulls him aside and says, "You're road." So instead of "you're rude," which is a proper pronunciation, she says, "You're road." So a lot of people, the internet, found it funny, so it circulated. It obviously appeased Filipino internet culture netizens around. And it's been around for a couple of weeks. I know I'm late to jump into the bandwagon. Sorry, bandwagon. Yeah, her accent's affecting my accent too. The bandwagon. But it is something I wanted to talk about, because it's sort of like the fact that this whole segment went viral, and a lot of people were kind of mocking her accent is, you can see here there's a Twitter, and like I mean, I'm sure for everyone who's listening audio only, on the recorded video I'm actually showing people some tweets and memes. Kennan Road, Rocky Road, Your Road. Okay, that was pretty good. But yeah, okay. It's people, I mean, here's the thing. People who, the fact that this clip was picked up, and a lot of people found it funny, and some people were mocking Jenny and her accent. The fact that it's gotten a lot of attention is sort of a, it kind of says a lot about our culture. And I do admit that it's funny. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it is. But at the same time, as others have pointed out fairly, that why would you laugh at someone because of her accent? If this was another person from another country trying to speak English, we wouldn't laugh at her accent. But because this woman Jenny is obviously, poor, and she can't speak English as well as some of us, people find it funny. But the underlying message, I mean, you and I both know where this is going. The underlying message is that people think, because maybe, I think the view is that she's stupid because she can't speak because she speak her accent when she speaks English is so thick. So, and that's kind of I think that's not cool. We can't expect everyone to. I can only speak English like this because I spent half my life in the U.S. and most people in the Philippines speak with an accent, and maybe hers is thicker than others, but still, I'll get to that in a second. But as we know, I mean, I just want to spell it out. These are obviously the subtle class demarcations of our society coming out. Generally speaking, the richer you are, the better education you can afford, and hence you can speak better English. So, I mean, it's sort of like a so for me. And obviously, I have no way of proving this, but it's sort of a it's sort of anecdotal, maybe a soft skill. But I do think that it's almost like someone in a social status higher than pecking order kind of laughing at this woman because her accent is so thick. This woman, by the way, who might be basically a mail order bride. I don't know. I'm speculating. So it's interesting though, like because for me, because I've again, I spent half my life in the U.S. and American English is my first language. Although I'm trying to improve my Tagalog and obviously my Spanish. For me, a lot of people here when they speak English, I mean, a lot of the educated people here when they speak English, they actually have an accent as well. So, I mean, what does that say? Should I laugh at all these other people who probably have less of an accent than Jenny, but still have an accent nonetheless? So, I mean, how does it feel when someone is mocking you for sounding stupid? So that's something that I don't like. Obviously, not everyone thinks like this, and I'm sure most people are just it's just funny, and it's a free internet, and I mean, people are always subject to memes. So and obviously she's maybe you could also say like she also signed a contract with TLC maybe, so getting that kind of exposure to the public also invites scrutiny or satire. So I think, I mean, it's fair. Like we can laugh about it, but I just hope that we learn not to mock other people for thick accents when they speak English. I think obviously one long-term solution to this problem would be to make quality education available for all. I know that sounds very airy-fairy and not realistic, but I generally see that as a positive. Of course, there's a huge gap between theory and practice. How would that actually happen? How would we get quality education available and affordable to all? But I think the problems like this are solved by structural solutions like affordable quality education for people. And maybe we could do something with the internet. The internet is, I remember reading maybe a few years ago this article that globally speaking, the education industry is very slow to adapt change. And obviously, if you've seen all of my other work, I also run a brand called Art and Finance, which is obviously about global financial and economic and business literacy. I generally think that globally, the education system has to be reformed. I mean, for me, it's a lot of it is still stuck in the 19th century. And not the 20th, the 19th century, and it has not really evolved with the times. And I hope that with adapting technology to use with education, I'm sure people are doing that. That maybe better, higher quality education will be available to all, or at least, or even other things too. Maybe like providing better training to teachers. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But I hope things like more of that kind of stuff happens. Obviously, a few years ago there was all the hubbub about massive, was it massive online learning course, something like that, MOOCs, but I don't know what happened with that. But they're still around, I guess, Coursera, Udemy. But it would be great if there was something Philippine specific. There's an idea for all you budding entrepreneurs. here in the Philippines. Anyways, but yeah, I think now, especially with technology, which is what I'm leveraging on, obviously, that we could do something to hopefully improve our education system, obviously here in the Philippines, but I'd also like to think globally as well. And I want to add just one last thing, because the title of this podcast is "What Language Should Filipinos Speak?" The reason why I've called this episode that is because it's very hard to learn more than one language. So in Jenny's defense, I think, and where is she from? But she's not from Manila or the Manila region, but she's from another, which province? Scrolling down, was it Ilocano? She speaks Ilocano, so she has an Ilocano accent when she speaks. And I mean, can you blame her? I mean, just warning, I mean, learning one language is hard enough. Imagine learning two. So should we? What should Filipinos speak? Should we just have one language that everyone speaks? As maybe some of you might have guessed, I'm actually against that. I think we should have multiple national languages, just because that reflects, going back to what I was talking about at the beginning of this podcast, that really reflects who we are. We are a mix. Our culture is a mix of different things, and our language has to reflect that. Personally, I want Spanish to be brought back as a national language, because a lot of our nationalists and heroes and very accomplished people in our history wrote and spoke Spanish. And if you understand what they were saying in Spanish, in the original Spanish, I don't know, I feel more Filipino reading it in Spanish. Even when I've been to Spain twice, and I felt, even coming back, I felt more Filipino being able to practice Spanish there. But that's something I'll talk more about in a future episode. But I asked, so, but I wondered, is it feasible? So obviously technology helps in general with providing better quality education all around, but is it feasible to have more than one national language? So what I actually did was I actually posted that question on my Facebook news feed to my friends, and I got a lot of interesting answers. Basically, everyone said yes. They brought up several examples, Canada, for example. And someone actually brought up the case of Switzerland, where the Swiss, apparently, according to him, can speak at least two languages. So that's something that they're. And for those of you who don't know, Switzerland is actually divided into different parts. There's a German side, there's a French side, for example. I'm not an expert in Switzerland, but it is a multilingual country. So the fact that they can do that they can actually get their citizens to be at least bilingual means that it can be done elsewhere. I mean, obviously, maybe you can say we're bilingual in the sense that at least speaking English and Tagalog. Obviously, I'd like us to be trilingual with Spanish. But yeah. So I think it can be done, and even though there's no things like that, like cultural improvement and cultural revitalization and giving us a sense of national identity, there's no immediate tangible ROI on that. ROI is return on investment. Like, you don't see that prop up in the economy or the jobs, the numbers, or poverty alleviation. But it's still, for me, an important it's still, for me, an important issue, because the intangible benefits you get kind of play out over the long term. Generally speaking, if you look at developed countries, like the Western countries, for example, and East Asian countries, they come from a tradition of having a consolidated culture and state and government, where there's a sense of identity and language. So again, going back to my first point at the very beginning of this vlog, or sorry, excuse me, not vlog, podcast. Why work so hard and make all the hard decisions, and why stay here and fix all our problems if you don't see a vision and a goal of who we are? and who we could be. It's almost like a, it's weird because it's that's kind of like self, I know that sounds self-helpy, but it's basically self-help on a national cultural level, if you know what I mean. So I really think, again, culture is important. And obviously, with this podcast, I'll be mixing it up between culture and also policy. So I think both of them need to work in tandem if we were to galvanize our fellow countrymen and countrywomen so that we can hopefully, again, make sure that progress continues over the long term and our overall standard of living goes up and poverty is alleviated. And again, going back to my central thesis, for those of you who are new to this podcast, we have to stick with certain long-term economic and urban planning policies so that our standard of living goes up secularly over the long term. Okay, so that's that for today's episode. A few things. I did release today, well, as of this recording earlier today, I released a new YouTube video. It's about ube and how it's getting popular in the US and how we can sort of ride that to really market our culture internationally. So you should check it out. I'll leave a link in the description of this podcast as well. So please do check it out and support. Also, my artwork is there, so I like to tell you it's visually appealing as well. Lastly, okay, today's episode's Tagalog Espanol vocabulary. Let's start with the basics, okay? So I don't want to. This is what is this? Podcast number 5? So let's start building a foundation for our Spanish, starting with the most basic stuff. And then later on, as this podcast continues over the longer term, we can add more and more complex stuff and sentences. But let's start with the very, very basic stuff. So today's Spanish word is yo. That's ako. Yo. Some countries it's yo, but yo, yo, ako. Yo, ako. Me, I, yo, ako. Okay, and that's it for this episode. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll see you next week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.